You know, let's get something out of the way. T.O., they want to feature and showcase the raunchy, woman-loving side of T.O. White women, Asian women, black women. As long as you are somewhat attractive, there's a chance for you in T.O.'s life, seems to be the message of part of the show. I think that's for ratings. I think that's immaturity on T.O.'s part, of course, as well. And of course, they're going to play that up. Sex and violence. We know about that, right? But the relationship between T.O. and his two black publicists. This is the, what do you call it? The main part of a story. This is the crux of the storyline for me. T.O.'s relationship with the two sisters who are his publicists. This is what the show revolves around. So far, I'm feeling this. Monique and Keita, I think their names are. They are there to be T.O.'s compass. They keep him rooted, constant reminder in his mind, as irritating as they may be. This is how real they keep it with T.O. You all want to talk about enabling. Now, these sisters are a little weak. They're not going to keep T.O. from having a booty bash or an orgy. They're not going to stop it, but they will reprimand him after it happens, at least. Here's how they keep it real with T.O.
It's like no matter what we do, though, Keita, Carol turns into T.O. Yeah. And I don't get it. He needs to understand where we're coming from. Like, we honestly got his back.
Our whole point of him being here is to focus on being Carol,
right?
Not T.O.
Right.
And last night, I was disappointed. Excuse me, Lord, but I'm pissed off right now.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this. We deal with Terrell. We don't deal with T.O.
But for some reason, T.O. was starting to come out on us.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
T.O. seems to have gotten on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to figure out how to pack those bags, send his ass home, and figure out whether or not Terrell wants to do what he needs to do here in L.A. That's the bottom line.
What I'm saying is that we need no distractions. And anything that's a distraction needs to be eliminated.
Slowly, we're starting to see Carol unraveling and seeing T.O. peek through. And I'm like, yo, time out. It's time for us to prioritize and get focused.
We headed over to Terrell's house and found him getting dressed. But I was still so upset about the daggone party that I couldn't help but think that this boy was up to no good.
Hello?
Like my shirt.
Hello? That's nice.
I'm trying to figure out what shoes you are.
Where are you going anyway?
Why do you want to know what I'm doing?
My radar is going up.
Do you always got to know what I'm doing?
And that's my job.
Sometimes Mo and Keita, especially Keita, are just extremely nosy. Little did she know that I had some things up my sleeve.
Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm going downstairs
why
to watch
lying?
TV.
I think you're lying because you're smiling. Don't lie.
I'm smiling because I'm handsome. That's why I'm smiling.
Okay, I'm smiling too because you're lying. The only thing that I hate is for someone to lie to me. So I was getting a little suspicious because it looked like he was trying to go out somewhere that he didn't tell me he was going. Be honest, are you going anywhere tonight?
I promise you, I am not going anywhere tonight. I'm having a nice, quiet night at home.
I'm here to get things moving. While you're here in L.A., you know what? You're real funny. But do understand, your stay here in L.A. is going to be me and Mo riding your back on every single move you make. Period.
Y'all need to leave me alone.
I'll leave
stay
you alone.
Stay out
long
of my
you.
Business.
Stay out of your business.
Yeah, the game is on and I'm about to go watch TV.
No, we need to talk. Terrell, don't walk away. Don't walk away. Terrell tried to brush it off, but he wasn't getting away with anything, especially after what happened last night. It don't work like that.
Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here and I'm going to be here too. Because it's time that we talk.
About what?
About you getting your wife on track.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Playing dumb ain't gonna get you off the hook. All I have to say to you, Terrell, is don't waste this opportunity, okay? You're only here in L.A. for a little bit of time before it's time for you to go on to the next day. We done brought you out to L.A. so that we can get focused on what our game plan is.
Why y'all keep talking about me not being focused?
Because I don't want you to waste this opportunity. That's all I'm saying.
I am focused.
You're not focused. Screw it up if you want to. You only get so many people that really want to play on your team and see you win. So don't forget it. Sometimes Terrell needs to be told point blank just how it is. That's our job professionally and as his friends. Seems like it might just be sinking in this time. Yeah, he said he was going to spend a quiet night at home.
We can only pray that he does.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Love it. this is what you want to see. This is what more of us need around us. Not only if you're a male, to have good female friends that'll keep it real with you, but professional assistance around you that will not enable you. Now let's be clear, Keita and Monique are not going to stop Turo physically from doing anything, but they are like a conscience for him, and I do believe that they will be consistent in this regard. We'll be able to see throughout the 6 shows or episodes of the T.O. show that are scheduled for. On another note, this is a good look for T.O. on the business level. This is a showcase program for him. If you watch this program, it will have the effect of humanizing Terrell Owens when he becomes a free agent at the end of the season in Buffalo. This is going to boost his market value in case the Buffalo Bills want to re-sign him. And it will make it okay for other teams to take a chance on him. You have 6 episodes of evidence that T.O. has been misunderstood and is little more than just an immature individual who did not get enough love when he was growing up. Anybody can handle that. Pac-Man Jones needs to do a show like this. How about that? The Pac-Man Show, or Adam Jones, formerly known as Pac-Man. So I expect you all to see more and more athletes doing this to clean up their image, enhance their marketability. And shout out to T.O. for being gangster enough to actually steal the tablecloth that Jerry Jones used in their final meeting together. Jerry Jones made some diagrams, talked about T.O. giving him 100% and him doing the same to him, vice versa. And then he left the tablecloth. T.O. Was gangster enough to keep that. Great show. Tiny and Toya, I'll get back to that next week. 2 episodes we have to catch up on, I guess, at that point. But if you watch the T.O. show, let me know, pro or con, what you thought about it. I tend to want to focus on the more mature aspects of the program, T.O.'s relationship with his 2 female publicists. And, you know, not to say nothing, but, you know, T.O. has some love issues, affairs of the heart. He may, when his playing days are over, he may want to marry one of these publicists. Is anybody feeling me on that? These may be a couple of the only women in his life that hopefully care most about his best interest professionally and as a person. He should marry one of them. Instead of running around looking for these beauty queens in tight jeans. We'll keep our eyes on that. 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I would not be surprised at all if Terrell Owens actually marries one of these sisters. If you're feeling me on that, let me know. Good to have friends of the opposite sex that will keep it real with you. Okay? Next week, T.O. Show and Tiny and Toya reviews. All right. Keep the Henry Skip Gates comments coming. Let me put the camera on me. I don't think I've put it on me yet, right? There I is. Hold on, let me put my ring finger up. That's not my middle finger. That's a ring finger. For all you Mets fans, your ring finger is a little naked. I'm giving you the finger now. If the Phillies get Roy Halladay, it's a wrap. I wrote a blog. I want to talk about this. The Latin King, let me say it right, the head Inca of the almighty Latin King and Queen Nation in the state of North Carolina, Jorge Cornell, King Jay, he'll be joining us a little later, as will Miss Lori Elliott, 2 of the young leaders coming up, emerging from the ground up. Lori's focus on business in Africa and the diaspora. King J. Jorge Cornell, head Inca of the almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, running for city council in Greensboro. Let me read to you all some of my blog on this. As far as King J goes, I'm going to CedricMuhammad.com is the location. I had an exchange via email with I won't say who it is, a great creative and intellectual thinker of our generation, my generation, who has sent me some questions. This is maybe about a month or so ago. Here's what I wrote. I said, two seemingly unrelated events have captivated my attention last week. The first was President Obama's speech to the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, in New York City. And the second was the announcement that the head Inca of the Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, ALKQN, in the state of North Carolina, Jorge Cornell, also known as King J, was running for an at-large seat for the city council of Greensboro, North Carolina. I skip down. So what is the connection between the remarks of America's first black president before the nation's oldest civil rights organization and the candidacy of a leader of one of the most respected and feared street organizations? It is that they both signal a new paradigm of leadership that will continue to emerge. It is a form of leadership shaped by the civil rights movement and grateful for it, but not beholden to it, and more honest about its excesses and limitations. While many missed it, if you listen closely, President Obama, who I call the community organizer in chief, did not really give a civil rights speech before the NAACP. He made a community development speech, actually pointing to successful programs, concepts, and initiatives of other organizations that are more relevant to the black community's condition. Some weeks ago, a brilliant intellectual and creative thinker for whom I have great respect asked me a question. The question was, has Obama's election to office undermined what is left of the Black Power movement? Here was my response to his great question. All right, listen up, everyone. Let me take a sip. I said, no, actually, I think President Obama, rather than undermining the Black Power movement, has actually exposed its current ineptness as a political strategy or lobby. The Black Power movement has long since stopped being an economic force, although this aspect of it can and will be revived through mass entrepreneurship and the embrace of technology, and is primarily right now only a cultural force for consciousness, which is still critically important for the education of our youth. The Black Power movement's uncritical, unconditional support of Obama and its projecting onto him unrealistic expectations, now supposedly disappointed, is pathetic. Yeah, I was a little more raw in this email than maybe you have heard me or seen me or read me to be. And it shows that we don't understand how political power is wielded. He, Obama, plays chess while we play checkers. The Black Power movement is anemic because it has lost the salt of its essence, which is institution building, that's businesses, media outlets, schools, political machines, etc., and that is the language of power. What can it, the Black Power movement, leverage now other than the word, which is still the ultimate creative force and foundation for everything? The Obama campaign exposed that the Black Power movement could deliver nothing for him other than rhetorical support. It had already been undermined. The immediate political future for the Black Power movement is its glorious past. Considerable influence in community development and local politics in places like mayoral elections, city council, state legislatures, and school boards. I'll let you all read the rest of that. I don't see Black Power as a national force right now. I see it as being incredibly important on the local level. Let me come back with a few stories. I'm going to talk about community development. That's where we're moving from. Torre from Rolling Stone magazine and others have talked about a post-racial environment. Well, I don't think that's the big question. With city governments and state budgets being busted, going broke, it's not about post-racial or not. It's about community development. Who will fill the void when police services are not funded, school systems are breaking down, no hospitals? We're moving from racial ideology and civil rights issues only into self-preservation, community development. I mean, with all due respect to those who want to focus on the symbolic value of President Obama's victory, I can't get but so excited. It's not that I don't deny it. I just can't get Holy Ghost anointed about it. The Holy Ghost doesn't swoop down upon me when I think about President Obama's victory. Here's the paradigm now. It's three pronged. One, personal transformation. Two, mass entrepreneurship. Three, community development. Tyra Banks. Yes, I am watching Tyra and the Wendy Williams show. I got to catch up on Wendy Williams' show as well. I'm talking about her television program. I like what I see so far. Here's what Tyra Banks said. I think this gets to the heart of the first prong, personal transformation and President Obama.
My favorite quote from President Obama's speech was when he said, starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America. I love that quote because I feel that Obama promised change for our country. But there's another thing that I think he's doing. I think he's inspiring us to change ourselves. I don't know how many people have come up to me and they say things like Obama has made them want to be a better mama, a better dad, a better friend, a better person, including me. He's making me want to step up in ways that I never have. And I know you guys are like, girl, you're a workaholic. But no, I'm talking about me inside and who I am. Even the message that I bring to you guys and the message that I bring to young women, it's going to the next level. And it's because of our new president of the United States.
Tyra, one more time. I want to make a point. One more time, please.
My favorite quote from President Obama's speech was when he said, starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America. Mm-hmm. Change for our country. But there's another thing that I think he's doing. I think he's inspiring us to change ourselves. I don't know how many people have come up to me and they say things like Obama has made them want to be a better mama, a better dad, a better friend, a better person, including me. He's making me want to step up in ways that I never have. And I know you guys are like, girl, you're a workaholic. But no, I'm talking about me inside and who I am. Even the message that I bring to you guys and the message that I bring to young women, it's going to the next level. And it's because of our new president of the United States.
Okay,
my favorite quote from President Obama's speech was when he said...
Easy. All right, enough. I know you're excited. Now, in case you haven't heard me or tuned in, or read my writing, which is rare, I have a problem with political ideologues who masquerade as black power activists who are really Democrats first, or who are really, well, here's the crisis of the intellectual, and I get into this in what I wrote about King Jay. Show me a black intellectual, a black activist, a black political figure who does what they do independent of external financial support. Now, this is, if you are a powerful voice, are you backed by a corporation that's outside of the community? If you're a powerful thinker, do you do what you do outside of academia? And I'm not talking about historically black owned or historically black colleges and universities. This is the crisis. Our great minds, our great thinkers have jobs. That's the blunt way to put it. They have day jobs. They do what they do from a platform that can be taken from them at any moment. Now, Henry Louis Gates and what happened to him is of interest to me because I want to see to what degree will his activism on behalf of police brutality or racial profiling or whatever issue he's going to take up, to what degree will this bring him into conflict with his benefactor, Harvard University? Same with opinion leaders. They can't say or do certain things because they do it from a corporate perch. Can't be a independent thinker or activist with somebody else controlling the strings. Now, this is why I do not get but so caught up in the left, right, center debate, I consider it to be a controlling modality and a way to herd the masses into consumer units. This is why CNN will have a program called Black in America, Part 1 and 2. It's a great business move. See, they've got all of you black Democrats or black leftists watching CNN. You don't watch Fox. You watch MSNBC a little bit. See, now they got you over there through their political coverage. Now they can drop Blacks in America and get sponsors and advertisers to pay for that. We will not be talking about Black in America, Part 2. You go somewhere else for that. I do that show, done that show for 2 years. I don't need CNN doing it. But my point is, it's a business move. You are being herded into controlling modality and consumer units. CNN appeals. They act sympathetic toward blacks. They get you to go over there and watch, and then they develop programming. Same with VH1 and BET. So I have to put down the left, right, center stuff. Doesn't work for me. I find business to be, and entrepreneurship to be a model that's more in line with self-preservation and an enlightened self-interest. Which brings me to my next subject, the Detroit school system. Now, I am a product, I'm an Army brat. I am a product of Department of Defense schools. No, it does not mean I'm a double agent. It means that my father was in the Army, and we were stationed on military bases where the school system was run by armed forces. Some of the best schools I've ever seen are Department of Defense schools, those schools that are on Army bases, Air Force, Army posts, Air Force bases, okay? Navy bases. Now, I will continue to say that the way you fix the public school system is not to get caught up in a left, right, center vouchers versus public schools argument. The reason why Department of Defense schools work, and the reason why really any good school works, whether it's private or publicly owned, or a combination thereof, is because the community, the parents of those with children in the schools, and those who are just members of the community, make discipline and academic performance part of the criteria for good standing and membership in that community. In other words, if your children are not doing well, they're misbehaving, not performing well, that reflects negatively on the parents, the family, the neighbors. So as a result, the shareholders and stakeholders, the people who are concerned about the educational system, take an interest in every child doing well. This is what I experienced on an Army post. This is what we experienced in black neighborhoods. Back in the day, black neighborhoods. Let me read this. Detroit schools on the brink. This is from today's Wall Street Journal. Detroit's public school system, beset by massive deficits and widespread corruption, is on the brink of following local icons GM and Chrysler into bankruptcy court. A decision on whether to file for protection under federal bankruptcy laws will be made by the end of the summer, according to Robert Bob, Detroit Public Schools emergency financial manager. Such a filing would be unprecedented in the United States. Although a few major urban school districts have come close, none has gone through with a bankruptcy, according to legal and education experts. But in Detroit, where U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan dubbed the school system a national disgrace this spring, lawmakers and bankruptcy experts see few alternatives given the deep financial challenges confronting the district and the state. Am I optimistic that they can avoid it? Pardon me. I am not, says Ray Graves, a retired bankruptcy judge who has been advising Mr. Bob in recent weeks. Again, Robert Bob is the emergency financial manager of Detroit's public schools. They have a $259 million deficit. Some experts say that the Detroit case could be the first in a string of Chapter 9 bankruptcies among school districts and other public entities battered by the economic crisis, and it could help shape the area of the law. Given the state of public finance, I think the wave is coming. This is what I mean by community development, folks. The Democratic Party is not going to save your public schools. The money is running out. This money is running out for police. It's running out for social services of all kinds. Are you going to be a Democrat first, or are you going to be a member of your community first? They're going to try. Charter schools now. Let me, another article, Wall Street Journal. Charter schools gain in stimulus scramble. Cash-strapped states. District signal expansion of public education alternative. Despite some teachers' strong opposition. Here's another thing. Are you black Democrats going to be beholden to the teachers' unions? Or are you just going to do what makes sense for the children? Teachers' unions are not necessarily... Many of the teachers don't even live in the communities that they teach in, just like police officers don't live there. I don't have a problem with unions. I'm just saying, are you going to put the union first, or are you going to put the community first? Some cash-strapped states and school districts are signaling a major expansion of charter schools to tap $5 billion in federal stimulus funds, despite strong opposition from some teachers' unions. Charter schools are typically non-unionized, publicly funded alternative schools that have been widely promoted by conservatives as a needed dose of competition in public education. So, because the word conservative is used, blacks on the left just fall out. But here's my question. We used to have black independently owned schools in the 60s and 70s. There's a few now. If the right wing and the conservatives want Catholic schools and privately owned schools to get voucher money, that's fine. But where are your own schools? See, that's lazy. It's lazy to say, oh, the conservatives and the private schools are going to benefit. Why don't you start your own damn school? This is the same thing with the swimming pool. Last week we talked about this. You're going to force your children to go to a swimming pool where they are not welcome, to endure the barbs and insults of people who do not want you swimming in the pool. But you're going to make that a civil rights cause rather than a community development issue. Build your own swimming pool. Start your own swim club. Then you don't have to force your children to face insults, and then you're going to sit there and wrap it up in civil rights language. Blank up out of here with that. Last month, the Louisiana legislature voted to eliminate that state's cap on new charter schools. The Tennessee legislature recently passed a bill expanding charter schools after the U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan personally lobbied Democrats who had been blocking it. And the Rhode Island legislature reversed a plan to eliminate funding for new charters after Mr. Duncan warned such a move could hurt the state's chances for grant money. I remember we had the Nyeri Institute. Anyone, any of my Rutgers representatives in New Brunswick, remember the Nyeri Institute? Whatever happened to the Nyeri Institute? The most striking example may be in Massachusetts. Governor Deval Patrick and Boston Mayor Tom Menino, both Democrats with histories of strong labor support, are proposing new state laws that would give them broader power to overhaul troubled schools, even more charter schools, and revamp collective bargaining agreements. Governor Patrick Thursday proposed increasing the number of available slots for students in state-sponsored charter schools to 37,000 from 10,000. He also wants to give state officials the explicit power to appoint outside receivers to run chronically underperforming schools. Mr. Duncan came to Boston to join Governor Patrick and the mayor as they detailed their plans. The percentage of U.S. public schools that are charter schools is 5% now. Locales with the highest percentage of public schools that are charter. These are the cities and locations, states that have the highest percentage of public schools that are charter schools. D.C., Arizona, Florida, Hawaii, Wisconsin, Colorado, Ohio, New Mexico, Minnesota, and Delaware. How do you all feel about this? Community development. I don't want to hear so much about black power. I don't want to hear so much about civil rights. You feel me? I want to hear community development. The police department is about to go broke. What are you going to do about that? School system going broke. No hospitals. No recreation centers. Black, white, Latino, Asian. Let's work together on community development. This is why I support the Latin King. King J. Jorge Cornell, I support his candidacy for city council, Greensboro, North Carolina. This is what we need. I don't want somebody who's more Democrat, more teacher union, more big business than they are community. Community development is what's up. How are you going to deal with this problem in Minneapolis? You're going to wait for the Democratic Party to deal with this one? Washington Times, July 21st, 2009. Minneapolis struggles with Somali gangs. Let me read this story. Ahmed Noor Ali's family fled the chaos and violence of their East African homeland, Somalia, in the 1990s, eventually making their way to Minnesota like thousands of their compatriots. While many of the estimated 32,000 Somalis, oh yeah, by the way, I'm the one that says Somalian. Yes, I made up a word. While many of the estimated 32,000 Somalis who settled in the state have struggled to adapt, Mr. Ali flourished. By the age of 20, he had blazed a path to Minneapolis Augsburg College, where he played soccer, studied political science, and aspired to a political career modeled on President Obama's. He was fatally shot last September outside a busy community center where he worked part-time as a youth counselor. Prosecutors said the 16-year-old accused of killing him was part of a gang. I don't know what happened to my musical beds. Mr. Ali was one of seven Minneapolis-area Somali men killed over a 10-month period, and authorities believe all were killed by fellow Somalis. Police say it's too simple to tie all the killings to Somali gangs, which have lured hundreds of young community members to their ranks in recent years. What are we going to do about this? Those in the insular community willing to speak out, however, disagree. It was all gang activity, totally 100%, said Shukri Adnan, a former Somali community organizer, who estimated in a 2007 report for the city that between 400 and 500 young Somalis were active in gangs. The police don't want to say that, but everybody else knows that. Despite anger and despair over the killings in Minnesota's Somali community, the nation's largest, police and prosecutors have struggled to catch and try the killers. Few witnesses have stepped forward because of a fear of reprisal and deep-rooted distrust of authority. What's the left-right-center position on gangs? Stop it. You waiting for a Democrat or a Republican to help you on that? You're going to get the National Guard. That's what you're going to get. Send in your comments. I'll catch up. So while President Obama may be a Democrat, I think one of the effects of him being a community organizer in chief and role model in chief is he's placing responsibility back on the shoulders of each of us to step our game up, as Tyra Banks, the political philosopher Tyra Banks, said.
My favorite quote from President Obama's speech was when he said, starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America. I love that quote because I feel that Obama promised change for our country. But there's another thing that I think he's doing. I think he's inspiring us to change ourselves. I don't know how many people have come up to me and they say things like Obama has made them want to be a better mama, a better dad, a better friend, a better person, including me. He's making me want to step up in ways that I never have. And I know you guys are like, girl, you're a workaholic. But no, I'm talking about me inside and who I am. Even the message that I bring to you guys and the message that I bring to young women, it's going to the next level. And it's because of our new president of the United States.
Now, some of you don't like that. Aside from the fact that Tyra Banks wears tight jeans, you all think she's an airhead. But I think Tyra Banks knows more from dealing with young girls and interviewing crazy people on her show than most political activists and ideologues do, who have to run everything through a Democratic Party playbook or a conservative think tank press release. See, part of what makes people uncomfortable about President Obama or King J running for city council or some of the insurgent challenges to the NAACP is that it doesn't happen in the confine of a political party or a think tank or a government department or an academic institution. So it's uncontrollable. Tyra Banks says she wants to step her game up. That may involve her doing work with Republicans or socialists or conservatives or Green Party members or libertarians. It may mean that. Now, I'm sure she'll be bullied into just working with one party. But so what? If Tyra Banks wanted to do something with a socialist group or a Green Party member. This thing is happening from the bottom up, not the top down. That's why some of you don't like it. I love it. Let me read your comments. Roginya, Culver City, California, one of the best that ever did it. He says, Harvard professor and scholar and a stellar citizen by all accounts. Skip Gates would be moonwalking with Michael Jackson if he were living in Philadelphia. It goes to show you it's a good idea to get to know your neighbors, if for no other reason than to potentially keep you alive. Rod, thank you. It wasn't just the police. It was the neighbors that called the cops on Skip Gates. Will from Washington, D.C. says, yep, Skip Gates is now the face of racial profiling. Apparently, he is now thinking about doing a documentary about racial profiling. He says, by the way, why does the black man in the photo look so disgusted? We'll put that up again. Rod continues, the hallowed grounds in the shadows of none other than the upper crust of academia and high society hold not a candle that is the fire of matters of money, property, and race. Henry Louis Gates' mugshot on t-shirts will start to spread for sure. Let me put this up again. Now here's my question, weaving everything together. Will Henry Skip Gates work with some of the premier police brutality, racial profiling activists in this country that are not Democrats, that are not Harvard University alumni? That's the litmus test for me, if he's really free or not. And if he makes a documentary, that's easy for him. He's the Don of documentaries. That's what he does. So Dr. Gates will not impress me if he makes a documentary about racial profiling that he'll end up getting on PBS because of his ties. No, will Henry Louis Gates come out of the comfort zone of the Harvard University tenured position to get gully and busy in the streets with some ex-offenders, previously incarcerated persons, members of street organizations, non-card-carrying Democrats? Will he do that? Easy for him to just hire Charles Ogletree, who is a very powerful individual, put out press releases. But is he going to start to broaden his coalition and alliances outside of the confines of what's acceptable at Harvard University? I wrote something called, Can't even remember. The non-threatening Negro. Google that. I wrote something about the non-threatening Negro. Rod goes on. He says, the next time I see Alan Keyes on air claiming anything, I will throw up right in my television set. That brother is disgusting, despite the fact that he's a good communicator. I'd give big money to see Michael Eric Dyson versus Alan Keyes in a fist fight and then in a debate in that order. He wants them to fight first. But Alan Keyes cried racism one time. Remember that? He cried racism inside of the Republican Party. He too was smitten or bitten by the racism bug. B. Harris from Philadelphia says, no good to Tiny and Toya. I am tired of VH1 and BET setting the stage for coonery that continues to play into the stereotypes that we strive to change. God bless America. Rod, Culver City, California. I doubt it will make the top 10 Nielsen ratings, but T.O. deserves as much right to make his paper as the next person. Good for him. Same for Keyshawn Johnson with his new interior decorating show, Tackling Design. I'm not up on it. Brother Kevin from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania says, as Paul Mooney would have said, Dr. Gates got his inner wake-up call. I agree 100%. Joseph from Brooklyn, New York says, "Peace, Cedric. I hope your vacation was enjoyable, among other things. A strong start to the show. Keep it coming. I read your response letter to Mr. Mayor from the Wall Street Journal. You made too much sense, so don't expect a return. Dr. Gates' arrest is not news. I'd rather hear about someone getting at Obama for his NAACP speech. Condescending and weak. Interesting." And Joseph is in New York. That was an interesting speech that Obama gave. I consider it primarily a community development speech. Some people have called it a white speech. Joseph from Brooklyn calls it condescending and weak. B. Harris says, "The symbolic is now a moment in history in regards to Obama. Rod Ginyard, Dick Gregory is the only brother I can think of who seems to move to his own drummer." He says, "You may be an army kid, but I bet your folks were smart enough to either get to know their neighbors or don't forget their keys like Skip Gates." That's right. We did know our neighbors. Anthony Muhammad from Ellenwood, Georgia. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Brother Cedric. I came across this article online just before the start of your show. It made me, in a sense, think about the discussion you had regarding Jim Brown and Bill Russell's interview on Real Sports. I like the fact that Brother Denzel has reached out to Chad Johnson to be a mentor to him, seemingly unsolicited. It made me question whether or not the elder entertainer activists make any attempts to mentor and groom their young peers to utilize their influence for conscious causes rather than shaming them into activism." Good point. Some people don't like Jim Brown's approach to calling out Tiger Woods for his lack of consciousness or activism. I thought Tiger Woods had a skillful response. Have you all ever wondered why Chuck D and KRS-One and many of the great rappers are not mentors to the younger ones that we know of in public? I think part of it has to do with the fact that, not so much Chuck D, but I think the great KRS-One, the greatest rapper who ever lived, by the way, can be seen as condescending and preachy when talking about the artist and their content. Now, I think KRS-One made a mistake in attacking Nelly on artistic grounds. I think KRS-One could have picked up the phone and been a mentor to Nelly. See, this is what I say about artists that don't want to be leaders or sports entertainers. Yes, we're going to leave up the picture of Skip Gates. I want this on t-shirts across the hoods in the diaspora in Africa. I'm going to leave this photo up. We want this on t-shirts by the weekend. Free Skip Gates. What was I saying? I have no idea. I forgot. I forgot what I was saying. Damn it. Send in more comments while I try to remember what I was saying. I have no idea. Oh, yeah. KRS-One, Nelly. See, when you continue to see yourself as an artist and not a leader, this is why I own the trademark on the term hip-hoppreneur. Some of us got to fall back and retire from the front line, so to speak, from the lead position, from the pole position. Let a young cat come through. Young men for war, wise men for counsel. Fall, slide over to the left and advise the young warriors. But you got some of these old rappers that see themselves as rappers first and leaders second, mentors second. This is why I had to be careful with my skinny jeans movement. The DTSJ, Death to Skinny Jeans movement that I am the godfather of. I have to be careful because I don't want to come in conflict with the young warriors who wear their jeans tight. They're going to misinterpret possibly what I'm saying as an anti-youth movement. I'm in my 30s. I see young boys every day with skinny jeans. The young people I interact with under 20 are rocking skinny jeans. I have to be careful how I maneuver. I don't want them to think that I'm attacking them personally. I know I'm getting old. 30-something years old. Raguignon, Culver City, California, says Tyra Banks is not an airhead, but she falls into the category of a Beyonce who can sing. Neither of these two young women can hold my attention beyond my belief that they are both overexposed and extremely self-involved. I would not put Tyra Banks in the same category as Beyonce. You all? I see a little bit more there with Tyra. But my point is that Tyra is going to become politicized, not because of a Democratic Party talking point or an intellectual, but because of cultural symbolism like President Obama. Then she's going to now leap into the fray and learn lessons. I like that. That's bottom up, not top down. Well, it has the potential to be bottom up, not top down. I don't know about Beyonce, y'all. I don't know. Skip Gates should align himself with the likes of the mother of the Haitian brother shot 41 times at his own doorstep, producing some kind of TV special with Soledad O'Brien and possibly for CNN. Yeah, how about that? Who was that? Diallo? Is that Amadou Diallo or Abner Louima? I get it mixed up. Yeah, well, Skip Gates unite with that cause. All right, send in your comments. A lot of ground to cover. We're going to talk to Lori Elliott. Check out her website, Discussion on Business in Africa. Paul Kagame, Rwanda. We'll get into that. I want to talk about my favorite boxer, Victor Ortiz. He's my favorite boxer because he got knocked out. I can defend that position. I want to introduce you to the Gangster of the Week, a Caucasian man who has a show on Al Jazeera. Usain Bolt says he can break his world record. Jamaica in the house.
Triple Olympic champion Usain Bolt believes he could reduce his own world 100 meters record to 9.54 seconds when the right opportunity comes. Bolt clocked 9.69 seconds in last year's Beijing Olympic final, despite celebrating his victory before he had crossed the finish line.
The 22-year-old Jamaican says his coach, Glenn Mills, told him he could run the 100 meters in 9.54 seconds. Bolt was speaking to reporters in London ahead of the Grand Prix at Crystal Palace on Friday, where he'll run in the 100 meters and 200 meters.
My coach mentioned that after the actual Olympics to me, when I slowed up, see, I probably would have run 9.54 if I continued running hard. So for me, we're just working on me and my starting. That's mainly downfall in all my 100 meters. So I'm working on that, and I'm hoping the time comes when it's definitely needed.
He clocked 9.79 seconds at the Paris Golden League meeting last Friday. Only American double world champion Tyson Gay has run faster this year with a time of 9.77 seconds in Rome. Gay has decided not to race in the 100 meters at Crystal Palace, only participating in the 200 meters. Bolt will race against compatriot and rival Asafa Powell over the 100 meters at the London Grand Prix.
First of all, I'm never scared of a competition. I strive on competition for me. I look forward to going out there and competing against these guys every season.
Bolt says he has to do more work on his 200 meters before challenging Gay at the Berlin World Championships from August 15th to 23rd after losing a month's training following a car accident this year.
Now, I have a great comment that just came in. From a dear friend of mine, brother, that I met in Kenya, 21-year-old Amos Riku. He'll be joining us on the show one of these days. He's the one that put me on Jua Kali. Put me up on Jua Kali. Any Jua Kali fans out there, you know what I'm saying. Through Facebook, Amos said this in reference to my emphasis on the new emerging cadre of leadership. He says, I agree that there is a new generation of leadership in the world, but there is a danger in believing that this age or this leadership is determined by age. Africa has the potential to be independent and make its decisions without influence from the West. Nice time, brother, and keep up the good work. Again, 21-year-old Amos Oriku, my brother from Kenya, Nairobi, he just sent this through Facebook. I agree that there is a new generation of leadership in the world, but there is a danger in believing that this leadership is determined by age. Africa has the potential to be independent and make its decisions without influence from the West. Nice time, brother, and keep up the good work. Thank you, Amos. It's my little brother, 21-year-old Nairobi, Kenya, Amos Oriku. Send in your comments. We're headed into what? Hour number three, Tree? Lori Elliott, Latin King, King J, Jorge Cornell, the new cadre of leadership. Not controlled by think tanks, partisan ideology, business interests, or government or academic institutions. Me neither. Oh, it feels so good to be free. I feel so good right now. Holy Ghost anointed. Let me give you the times. Listeners from all over the world. Nairobi, Kenya, 8:59 p.m. Lagos, Nigeria, 6:59 p.m. Can't forget about Toronto, Canada, 1:59 p.m. Johannesburg, South Africa, 7:59 p.m. Caracas, Venezuela, 1:29 p.m. I got listeners in Brazil. Oh, I got a story on Pele in a minute. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. July 22nd, right? 2009, hottest show in the diaspora. Maxwell. I'm going to review Maxwell's album. I'm loving it. And I've been a Maxwell hater like no other.
The home of the business and building movement. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
For all Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Sutrece, everybody out there, they represent something. So put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we could talk peace.
That was the request North Carolina Latin Kings leader Jorge Cornell made during a news conference Monday. He wants gang leaders to get together for a discussion on how to end violence.
What I'm asking these leaders to do is, if you got one that's going to start trouble with the other, don't let those two, you know, let it get physical. And if it does, don't let it cause a war. Let's bring it to the attention of those leaders and let those leaders deal with their own.
Cornell was joined by church leaders, Pastor Nelson Johnson and Gregory Heaton, who gave their full support to the cause.
And so I want to commend Brother Jorge and the Latino Nation and all of those who have responded in the hope that this is merely a beginning and that together we can do a new thing.
Cornell says that he's already getting a good response from other gang leaders and hopes that today's message will encourage even more to come together.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, that we get some more responses and the more people that are willing to come to the table, and some of these gangs, nations, and associations, still, you know, more, the bigger the better. That's where we go from here. The next step is to sit down.
And Heaton says they will open their doors so that next step can be taken.
I want them to know that there will be places where they can gather and meet. We believe that that's the way to go.
In Greensboro, Kira Mathis, News 14, Carolina.
The home of the business and building movement. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Only wanna cross.
Charge that to the game.
But it's Watchman, Cedric Merlin, and the Black Coffee Channel.
Pop the cop, shut down the party. Team Saga low, blow smoke out of it. We got along with y'all, we shot on double smoke.
You are tuned in to the Watchman, Cedric Merlin, and the Black Coffee Channel.
She was a dime, so naive that she believed every single lie. 17, first time, shipped up, about to have a child. Was just us and mom, single parent home. She did the best she could, did it all alone. Met a man, but he won't raise a child that's not his own. No, 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 oh no, no. But it's all great, baby. Shots get hot, the cops shut down the party. Tag low, blow smoke out of it. We got along, we got a song.
You are tuned into the Watchman, Cedric Merlin, and the Black Coffee Channel. Business and Building Movement, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.